Hey, welcome back, students, and those of you who've listened to the show before. I'm glad you're still with me. If this is the first time you're listening, thank you. I hope you'll be back. I'm D.A. Arliss, welcoming you to episode 069 of the Guitar Technique Tutor podcast, recorded on March 26, 2012. My goal as a guitarist and instructor with decades of experience is to raise the quality of my students and all guitarists' playing level and understanding. So here I am, doing my part to spread the excellence one guitarist at a time. Well, how was your week? I'll give you a little rundown, a little bit pressed for time today. My DRs are normalizing, and I still love them, but the new sound is just regular great, not new great. Oh well, another string change isn't that far away. Arno will be changing his strings this week. Actually, I think we will be doing it together, which will take a little less time. He's found that his beautiful Taylor is not sounding as sparkly and wonderful as he really likes. So we'll be changing those strings. I had a nice conversation with a mature man about guitar lessons on Thursday afternoon. We met while I was killing a little bit of time before Lanny's guitar lesson. He said he played in the 70s and took lessons at the Leonard Bolotin Guitar Institute in Manhattan. We talked about Leo, music, guitars, and the fellow who I was speaking to had what he called short fingers, and he had a lot of challenges from that. And we had a great conversation. It was very enjoyable. I didn't get his first name, but I wanted to say a special hi to you if you're listening to the show this week. I did give him a business card, and he seemed quite interested in the podcast. Hello also to Shira and Moti. We will have a consultation later this week and quite likely begin lessons for Shira after Passover. So hi to both of you. Speaking of the show, I think that after next week, which will be episode 070, I will take a week off. That's the Passover and Easter week, and I will mention it again next week so you don't think I dropped off the planet or had one of my crises that seemed to be plaguing me a while ago. I'm a bit pressed for time this week, as I said before, so this intro is going to be brief. In this week's show and spotlight for the show, there are four students in the student spotlight. That makes me very happy. The question of the week is from Michael, our guitarist friend, and it's about how you actually apply scales and scale type studies to real playing. Well, if Michael shows up many more times, he's going to have his very own segment on this podcast. News is about Fender's Blacktop Baritone, particularly, and the Blacktop series in general. Take Note is about protecting your axe now that the time when a lot of guitarists are taking or planning vacations or short getaways is upon us. Please don't forget the Les Paul in Mahwah exhibit at the Mahwah Museum in Mahwah, New Jersey. The full scope of this extraordinary collection will reduce to a smaller permanent installation at the end of June. So if there's any way you can make it to the northern border of New Jersey on a Wednesday, Saturday, or Sunday, you simply must go. This exhibit is fascinating and will give you an unsurpassed appreciation for the magnitude of Les Paul's genius and contribution to guitar, recorded music, and 20th century culture overall. I appreciate the exhibit as a musician who plays guitar, but it's safe to say that any musician, music aficionado, engineer, sound or otherwise, scientist, pop culture junkie, jazz lover, historian, student, layman, you get my point, butcher, baker, candlestick maker, will be amazed and intrigued by this exhibit. I should really tweet about this more. I hope the soon-to-be-released Thank You Les CD will be out in the near future so I can review it before the exhibit closes and more of you, perhaps, will be inspired to go. Okay, that's it for today's intro. As I said, I'm a little pressed for time, so let's go ahead and move along to this week's Student Spotlight. In the warm glow of the student spotlight this week, as I said before, there are four students, Amber, Arno, Danielle, and Talia. That's more like it. You all did well this past week. I should say exceptionally well. Good work. Don't you just love it when you can really hear and feel and sense that you are a step closer to mastering the instrument you love? It just makes my heart sing. I'm so proud of all four of you. I hope you will be frequent spotlight occupiers. You four have gotten a leg up on spring fever, and that deserves special mention and huge kudos. It seems that people are having a harder and harder time resisting that glazed over dreaminess that occurs this time of year. I think discipline is just not as highly prized these days in the general public as it was maybe a decade or even two ago. It's a sad commentary, but I think it's true. Each of you spotlighters know what area you excelled in during the past week. I hope you hold your ground, especially you, Talia. You know why I'm saying this. A few of you will be missing lessons over Passover week, so please, on days when you may practice, please do it. I know you're going to be busy doing other things, but it's important. Arno, you won't be off for Passover. I know you're coming off a bummer of having to put your beloved, aged pug down on Saturday. I was thinking of you, and it was tearing my heart out, just the idea of having to put him down. I hope you throw yourself into the guitar in blue moments, especially in these next coming weeks. You and your playing will benefit from it, and I am so, so sorry about Oscar. That's it for this week's Student Spotlight. Now, let's move along to the question of the week. This week's question of the week is from Michael, our guitarist friend, who is trying to make peace with his practicing scales. You'll remember me mentioning him in some recent episodes, if you're a regular listener. Well, as I have mentioned, he has become convicted that practicing some exercises regularly will improve his overall playing, but when I saw him yesterday, he asked how to apply them to real playing. So I guess his question is, how do I apply the practice of scales, stepwise, in thirds, and in other tonal patterns, to what I play every day? That's probably the question. Oh, and he's still reluctant to use the metronome. So this week, knowing the excuse was a lame one, he said he doesn't have a metronome. I believe he doesn't have one, so I suggested that there are a few options he has. There's a free metronome at metronome.com online, or he can get an app for his iPod or iPhone or iPad. Don't worry, this will not be iTalk 2 today. I'm not going there. But I will just mention that the iOS app I like is Tempo by Frozen Ape for a metronome. That's the one I use. Okay, well, it's a reasonable question, especially coming from a guitarist who was in a band for a long time and continues to play out. He knows how to manipulate a pentatonic scale to create a rock solo with ease, but what do you do with something that has half steps in it and has real harmonic glue? Now, if the phrase I just used escapes you and you don't know what I mean by harmonic glue, a very general explanation is this. In a pentatonic scale, there are five tones to the octave. The tones are spread far apart. We measure the change in highness and lowness of pitch by something called half steps, or some people call them semitones. I prefer the word half step. In a traditional scale, there are seven tones to the octave, which means they're closer together. And some of these tones are actually just a half step apart. A half step of change in sound is a small amount of change of sound, and therein is tension in the music. The farther apart notes are, the less tension there is, and the easier it is to put them together in combinations that sound pleasing or correct or never sound wrong. And that's why many, many improvised solos and even purposeful solos are built from pentatonic scales. You almost can't play a wrong note when you use a traditional scale. There are a few pitfalls, and certain things sound right and certain things don't sound right. So it's more of a skill. So in essence, what I'm trying to say is it takes a little bit more understanding of theory, music, and general tonal relationships when you're a jazz soloist as opposed to some rock solos. Nothing against rock musicians. I'm just saying if the solo's built from a pentatonic scale, there's almost no possibility of playing a wrong note if it's improvised. It might not be what the musician is intending, but it won't be wrong to the hearer. Whereas if you're using a traditional scale, things can go very wrong very quickly if you don't know what you're doing. Okay, that wasn't as brief as I had hoped. Okay, so what I told Michael, the purpose for playing the scale type studies with which I supplied him, is primarily for the dexterity and for one's ear. Playing by rote is okay, and that's what most scale study players do. But, and this is very big, your fingers can be on autopilot, but if you are going to mentally zone out, don't even bother. Let's say you're working on a scale, and wherever you are playing it on the fingerboard, you're playing it in the key of A. This is just an example. Be conscious that you're playing in A. Listen to what the key of A's unaltered tones are, or scale is, or whatever key you're playing in, and what it sounds like. How does that help you? Your ears begin to tune to that key if you're actually conscious about what you're doing, and you are seeing and feeling where you're playing it, and with consistent playing over a period of time, that is, you're going to have an inclination when you're playing in the key of A. Your fingers will have a reflex. Your mind will be full of the patterns and sounds those patterns have lent over the repeated practice. So there's an old saying that I think was attributed to Yogi Berra, and I don't know if that's who actually said it, but it was repetition is the mother of memory. And that's actually true. When your studies include non-stepwise exercises, for example, some patterns like alternate thirds or ascending thirds or an interval of an ascending third followed by a descending second, this is going to add to the arsenal of little melodic bits and fills that you may draw from when improvising or, for that matter, when composing an instrumental riff, solo, or entire piece of music. Think of scale or other exercises akin to vocabulary building in a language. If you're not sure how to use and don't ever use a newly learned word, it's not of any value to you. But when you learn a new word and seize on the opportunity to use it in conversation or correspondence, it becomes familiar and you use it more and more and more. So good exercises are like that for a well-rounded musician. So listen when you work on scale studies or any kind of speed studies. And for heaven's sake, cease avoiding the metronome. You don't even have to buy one. If you have a question for the question of the week segment, please email me if you aren't a guitarist, friend, or a student. And if you're Michael, your question may be here again. If I use your question, I will contact you and be delighted to send you a Guitar Technique Tutor podcast pick. Let's take a break and move along to this week's news segment. In the news this week is the blacktop baritone from Fender. I'll admit it right up front, I have a weakness for the lower registers. When I was a fledgling guitarist, there was an upright bass in one of the practice rooms where I took my weekly lessons. I confess that I held and played a few open notes on it and nearly melted into a puddle on the floor. Then I quickly stepped away with palms forward and raised hands, a la the Wicked Witch in The Wizard of Oz when she tried to touch Dorothy's ruby slippers. I knew instantly that it was the forbidden fruit for me. I had heard about the extent of calluses on the hands of stand-up bass players, and I know that if I learned to play it, it would compromise my guitar playing, and I was not willing to give up the guitar for the bass, although I really thought about it for a while. So I didn't learn to play it. But given a choice, I'd rather listen to bass, cello, and baritone guitar more than any other strings. Okay, so you know I'm a low register fiend. This is a confession I don't know if I've ever made on this show before. So let me tell you about this series from our friends at Fender. The Blacktop series presents a truly unique new model in the deeply resounding form of the Blacktop Telecaster baritone guitar. A true baritone Telecaster, it creates a rich sound of distinctive depth and character with a 27-inch scale, low-down B2B tuning, and a tonally versatile triple pickup configuration, including a full-throated humbucking bridge pickup that covers the entire sonic spectrum from tic-tac-twang to full-on Kerrang. Features include an alder body, maple neck, rosewood fretboard, the whole works. I mean, everything Tele is known for. The pickups are great. It's a five-way switching and three-ply pick guard with black and white skirted black amp knobs. This is just it. Chrome everywhere you want chrome. It's also available in a classic copper and ghost silver. The specs will be probably in my show notes. Just so you know, the colors it's available in are a three-color sunburst, a ghost silver, which I have to say has great appeal to me. I'm a silver person. And classic copper. Now, for those of you who don't know and have never heard of baritone guitars, they're low. And when it mentions B2B tuning, basically these are tuned, the open strings are tuned to B, E, A, D, F sharp, B, going from low to high. So it's comparable to the seventh fret of your guitar, but lower. This lower tuning can be used to play many songs from bands that use lower tunings. Now, you can even drop it farther. You can tune it A, D, G, C, E, A, which is a fourth below standard tuning, but I'm very much the B2B tuner as far as baritones go. I think that's where they sound the best, and I think that's probably where they're quite versatile. So by all means, if you've never heard of a baritone guitar, do a little research. If you are a low register fiend, such as I, you might want to pick one up. You can have the benefits of this low, delicious sound without the rigors of playing an acoustic bass or even a four-string bass. You still have the guitar experience. So it should be noted that there are also Blacktop Strats, Tellies, Jazzmasters, Jaguars, Strat Floyd Roses, Strat Baritones, Jazz Basses, and Precision Basses. The MSR on the Tele Baritone is a little over $700, and I'm sure that they will be found, especially at the big box stores and reliable, I stress the word reliable, online dealers for a significantly less than that. They're beautiful instruments, and baritones make me smile. I'm smiling just saying it. So that's our news for the week from our friends at Fender, and I hope you'll take a look at or listen to or learn about baritone guitars. Let's move along to this week's Take Notes segment. Thank you. My take note topic this week is cases for your axe. It's spring, which means more people are traveling now and will be in the summer. So if you're taking your guitar or a child is going off to camp with a guitar, you better protect it. I'm going to give you just a brief rundown of some cases that are common and some others that are in the elite category. Naturally, you may look at a higher end case if you have a $4,000 guitar or something more valuable. On the other hand, if you have a $250 guitar, I wouldn't recommend spending $800 on a case. There's the full range here. You've got your low-end, moderately priced cases. When I have a ballpark of pricing, I will tell you. So I'm going to just run down a few cases that come to mind. Surely this isn't the be-all, end-all list, but it's a few that are pretty readily available and you might want to consider. I would suggest, unless it's a hard-sided gig bag, do not travel with just a gig bag. If there's no rigid support inside the bag, you've got a problem. Now, first up is Gator cases. Gator offers gig bags, deluxe gig bags, lightweight cases, molded cases, economy wood, deluxe wood, and ATA cases. These can be purchased on the low end for maybe around $90 to up to $300, depending on the guitar profile and the type of case purchased. When I say don't travel with something that doesn't have hard sides, I mean in an airplane or maybe even in a camp situation for kids, because the opportunity for the guitar to get dinged, bumped, hit, stepped on, mishandled is huge. If you're traveling and you're going to, I don't know, somewhere by car and you're traveling with your family or by yourself and you're just going to be with mature friends who, or you can get the guitar away from little kids, fine, you can take a gig bag. I'm just saying if the opportunity for the guitar to get smacked around presents itself, don't take something that's just soft-sided. It's not enough protection. You may not realize the guitar is really a fragile thing and you don't want any disappointments. Okay. Next up is what is affectionately called by many retailers and players alike as Canadian guitar cases. These are classic workhorse cases manufactured in Canada that have been around for decades and marketed under a variety of names over the years, such as Everest, Grand Prix, Superior, and many more. They're a plywood shell, rugged black vinyl tweed exterior, plush padded interior, accessory compartment, strong latches and hinges, and sturdy handle. They continue to be popular. Now, realize, when they're plywood, these are heavy cases. These are like the only thing that was available back in the 60s and 70s, and this is what everyone carried, although they weren't made in Canada at that time, the ones I had anyway. They came with my guitars. These range from, say, maybe $100 to $150, depending on where you buy them, and they are available for a lot of guitar profiles. Then there's the SKB cases. These are really common. You find them at the big box guitar stores. And when a guitar does not come with a case from its maker, this is what most guitar stores are going to offer you if you want something that's a hard shell case and that's not expensive. This would be the first thing they'll suggest you get. They're not expensive. Let's say $70 to $150 or so. That's the range. I mean, my prices are as of recently, and the price of everything is going up, it seems, meteorically, so my price point might be a little off, but not too far. There's nothing special about these, but if all you need is protection from bumps and getting an instrument into and out of a vehicle or locked somewhere under a bunk at camp, these will surely do. Then we graduate up to something called a Hume case, and they're to be compact yet sturdy. It combines a modern sleek look with a strong fiberglass shell enhanced by a patent-pending dual-action humidity control system mounted in each case. The self-humidifying system helps prevent cracking and shrinking and other damage due to changes in the climate and temperature by providing continuous humidity control. Now, you know how much I rant and rave about making sure you're using your humidifiers. Well, this would surely be a fix and prevent that kind of damage that so many guitars suffer from over dry seasons or dry environmental periods, for example, when heat or air conditioning are on. Standard features on these include a complete line of humidity control package, perfect weather seal, 6 secure latches, small removable pouch compartment, rings for both shoulder and back straps, and a choice of colors. Now you're talking about a little bit more serious case. This runs around $250, but if you've got a decent guitar and you're lax with humidifying it and you keep your guitar in a case when you're not playing it, this $250 might be the best spent money you ever spent on your guitar. So don't dismiss it just because of the price tag. Then there's Reunion Blues. This is a company that was founded in 1976 by people who believe music is essential to the human spirit. So for over 30 years, the company has created instrument bags for discerning musicians that are both luxurious and highly functional. They're constructed of the finest materials using state-of-the-art manufacturing. Reunion Blues' original designs are recognized and trusted around the world. Just about any guitarist you know, if they don't have a Reunion Blues case, they know the name Reunion Blues. And if you read any guitar magazines, you'll see their ads. These cases are known for their convenience and durability. They're referred to as the best of the best by the company, and they are very, very good. They run from about $200 and up. And I really mean up. You can purchase a leather bag for a classical guitar for from $470 to $700. So these are expensive cases. And don't be misled. They're not only for classical guitars, but I'm giving you an example of their higher end offerings. Then we have BAM France. And they have introduced their new high-tech line of guitar cases using years of experience gained from developing its popular line of cello cases. BAM has designed a very light guitar case which offers outstanding shock and thermal protection. Made in USA, BAM's patented high-tech materials and technique, this case has an almost indestructible shell. The guitar is suspended inside the shell, and the neck is supported with a custom injection foam. The case offers a water and airtight seal and is equipped with comfortable handles and a set of 2 anti-slip neoprene back straps. A removable accessory pouch is located under the neck. They also offer a classic line of these cases, which are also amazing. Now, with that said, they sound like, well, why wouldn't anyone have a BAM case? Well, full retail can be over $800, but you can find them for less. It really depends on the model and guitar profile that you're wishing to accommodate. They're fabulous cases, that's all I'm going to say. And then there's Workhorse cases. That's the last one I'm going to touch on today. Workhorse cases manufactures custom fitted instrument cases for all types of stringed instruments. They are for guitars, mandolins, banjos, etc. They're available in 2 grades, deluxe fiberglass and carbon copy. Both provide the same level of exceptional protection available only from a Workhorse case. The only difference between the two cases is weight. The carbon shell is 20% lighter. Beyond that, the two products perform identically. Now, they have many sizes. This is a custom guitar case. The word custom should translate into dollars. In terms of a guitar case, I just took a look at one for a Martin 000 series. The deluxe fiberglass case is $975. Now, that's a list price. I don't know if these are negotiable anywhere. And the carbon copy is $1,050. Now, I can tell you that all that protection probably weighs less than 7 pounds, which is something. Now, this is really, really for a working musician. I would find it a little difficult to justify someone who takes their guitar out 3 times a year spending this much money, unless it's a handmade, custom-built, really, really expensive instrument. Although, you know, it's values in the eye of the beholder. They're fabulous cases, but they're really pricey. That wraps it up for this week's segments of 069. And let's go to the outro and wrap this baby up. Don't forget the Les Paul exhibit, Les Paul in Mahwah, at the Mahwah Museum in Mahwah, New Jersey. Try to get there before the end of June. And for heaven's sakes, don't stop humidifying your guitars. It's still dry in a lot of areas. If you have heat on in the house, or if you have air conditioning on in the house, you need to be humidifying. And if the air is less than 40% humidity, you need to be humidifying. Congratulations to Amber, Arno, Danielle, and Talia. Great work. The application of scale type studies to real-life guitar playing is a greater aptitude for improvisation and hearing various key tonalities, as well as the dexterous chops to play them. Check out the entire line of blacktop instruments from Fender. If you too drool over low registers, the blacktop baritone Tele may be just for you. If you're taking your guitar anywhere, that it will be bumped, touched, stepped on, leaned against, or perhaps mistreated in a way you wouldn't handle it, protect it with a case. Episode 070 will be next week, and after that I will take a week off during Passover and Easter week. Students and valued listeners, I would like to thank you once again for your time and for joining me for episode 069 of the Guitar Technique Tutor Podcast. I hope you heard something thought-provoking, instructional, interesting, or at least entertaining. I will include links to anything I mentioned that I think you might like to explore further in the show notes. Don't forget that my website is guitartechniquetutor.com, all spelled traditionally, G-U-I-T-A-R. TechniqueTutor.com, and that you can reach me by email at guitartechnique@gmail.com. Please note that there is no tutor in the email address. Don't hesitate to email me your question for the Question of the Week segment. If I use it, I will be delighted to send you a Guitar Technique Tutor podcast pick for your trouble. You can follow me on Twitter, where I'm Guitar Technique. I'm not a tweeting maniac. I tweet to update anyone following me and retweet what I think is interesting. On my homepage and the podcast page of my website, you will find links to subscribe to the podcast in a variety of ways and or to subscribe to the show notes by email or a reader. If you're seeking expert, competent guitar instruction in the Bergen and Rockland County towns in which I teach, such as Airmont, Allendale, Fairlawn, Franklin Lakes, Glen Rock, Hawthorne, Hohokus, Hilburn, Mahwah, Midland Park, Montebello, Montvale, Oakland, Oradell, Paramus, Park Ridge, Ramsey, Ridgewood, River Edge, Saddle River, Suffern, Tallman, Teaneck, Upper Saddle River, Waldwick, Washington Township, Westwood, Woodcliff Lake, or Wyckoff, please contact me. For lesson inquiries, calling is best, and my number's on the website. Don't forget that I have recently changed that phone number, and if you took it down from the website more than a week ago, check it out again. The correct website phone number should end with 4141. If that's not the number you have in your contacts for me, change the number, because the old number's going away. Toot sweet. If we can coordinate our schedules and you're a good candidate to learn to play the guitar, perhaps we can work together. Practice, have a great week, and until next time, I'm your host, D.A. Arliss, doing my part to spread the excellence, one guitar. guitarist at a time.